So, like you, I watched the announcement. I've read between the lines, and I think I've cracked what that bumbling baboon was saying. This is my take.
Okay.
Good evening, you disease-ridden, feckless plebs. I can confirm that after a narcotics-fueled Zoom meeting with members of the inner circle, a way forward has been agreed upon. I now hereby announce the measures we will be implementing with immediate effect. Everyone is to return to work immediately. But in the interest of safety, all workers will be issued with a human-sized inflatable hamster ball. We believe this will dampen any chance of a second peak. And who wouldn't want their workplace to resemble total wipeout? Those who arrive at work without the appropriate protective attire will be sent to Scunthorpe. It's a severe punishment, but order must be maintained.
We've shit on Scunthorpe a lot.
It's just a funny name, isn't it?
It's very funny.
Protecting our elderly is a top priority. Starting tomorrow, all citizens over the age of 65 will be tested for COVID-19. Those who test negative will be moved to Madagascar for their safety. And there they will have starring roles in future animated features by DreamWorks Pictures. Think Last of the Summer Wine with monkeys. Those that test positive will be moved to a secure pen at Cheltenham Racecourse and made to compete against each other for public amusement. We will increase testing immediately. Our aim is to identify those who possess superior genes for fighting the virus. Those select few will forcibly be enrolled into a breeding program aiming to create a new wave of superhumans.
Doesn't matter how sex.
Those on the Isle of Sheppey are exempt, as we have no evidence to suggest that webbed feet is a genetic advantage at this stage. All online art is to stop immediately. You're industrious little fuckers, aren't you? Now is not the time for joy. I will not be taking any questions at this time. All that is left to do is to unveil our new slogan. Who cares anymore? The strong will survive. Life's a lottery. Be lucky.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly podcast. My name is Connor Moore, and thank you very much for joining us. That man there, doing his best Michael Bublé impersonation, is, as always, Mr. Darren Hill. And yeah, thanks very much for joining us. If we seem a little bit low or a little bit down during this recording, or a little bit what's the word? Away with the fairies, perhaps a little bit dejected, it's because we just sat and watched the Prime Minister give his speech. We're recording on a Sunday as we normally do. So if we're a little bit what's the word, Darren? If we're a little bit despondent, maybe not as high energy as we sometimes are.
Almost a bit jaded.
It also could have something to do with the fact that I haven't had enough booze yet, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm back on the booze.
You're back on the booze. It only took you a couple of days. So, full disclosure for those listening, take you behind the curtain. We'll peek under the kimono, if you will. We're recording only 2 days after we recorded the last episode. Because of my technical issues, we've recorded two in a matter of a few days this week. You would think that would make us, you know, a little bit more productive. Probably isn't.
So anyway, to hashtag structured fun.
Hashtag structured fun, my friend.
Because I do not have all evening.
I have a busy schedule that I need to fill with masturbating and drinking. And frankly, it's
who told you my schedule?
Well, I know you're such an organised person, Darren, and I just extrapolated
I'm
out.
I'm at the point. Fuck it. I don't care. It's just for us.
It's just for
I'm at the point.
Except a lot of people watch the beginning of the show, I imagine.
Oh, because they get captive. Okay. I don't mind anyone knowing.
Care.
I am now finally. Do you remember when you were a teenager?
Do you remember when
you were a teenager and you would hear like older comedians make jokes about ejaculating and falling asleep, and you were just like, I don't understand how those two things correlate. I am now at the point where if I do masturbate, I have to know that I have kept the next 3 hours free because nothing's happening, and I won't even fall to sleep. I'll just get a bit drowsy.
Just lie there, just in your just own, in your there. Own shame.
I can't lie in their own shame, and I you know, and just veg out for a bit.
What have I done? What have I done?
Oh, that's horrid, isn't it? That's that the immediate
that story, or
no, the immediate. This ain't going in. When why not?
When you have to, might do.
you know, the immediate. It goes from to.
Yeah. When you have to X out of that tab of whatever material you've been watching, and you just have to, you catch that glimpse of yourself in the shine of your laptop screen, and you're like, oh god, I'm just, what is this? This is
awful.
Horrible.
Oh god, no. Oh god, no. Oh god, no. Speaking of me going, oh god, no. Have I ever told you the story about the worst taxi ride I've ever had? The one that was really expensive.
From masturbation, so oh no, I don't think you have told that story.
Have I told you it? Have I told it on the podcast?
I know it.
Oh, you do know it.
Of course I know it. Yeah, of course I do.
Shall we? Shall we? Let's go for it. Why not?
Why not?
It's material, isn't it? So I was out for a friend's birthday in Canterbury, and again, you know me, not really, despite part of the nature of this podcast and what lockdown has done to me. I'm not a big drinker in terms of quantity. I'm a bit of a lightweight. But this friend's birthday was in, it was June or July.
It was summertime.
I can't quite remember. I'm so sorry if they're watching. And they were having their birthday get together in a pub in Canterbury, and a beautiful day, like absolutely
gorgeous,
stunning.
Wasn't it? Yeah,
sat in a beer garden. Eating, drinking, and I was stuck on beer while I was in this pub, and I wasn't even like hammering it down, but I was drinking Doombar, and I could put Doombar away from the pump like no one's business. It's just, for me, it's a really smooth beer. It goes down really nice. But I was about 6-7 pints in and still felt fine.
Yeah, which is deadly.
and also to me doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And anyway, obviously the evening rolls in and the pub starts closing. I have a half before I go, so I think about 7.5 pints before we leave. And I still
half of the road.
And I'm only just beginning to feel like, oh, I've had a drink. And then this is where the night took a turn. I should have left then. I should have known my limit and left, but I didn't. And I went to the Pound in Canterbury, the cocktail bar. Got into the Pound, and at the time, I was a real sucker for an espresso martini. Mm. And I stress at the time. And I necked 3 of them in the space of 20 minutes.
Oh, no. And they're boozy.
They're really fucking boozy.
Jeez.
And it mixed, and it hit me
as it's wont to do.
And I was sat, and there was a moment, and I felt it where I was sat with the group of friends that I was with, where I went from feeling brilliant to oh really not okay.
Oh no.
Went outside thinking I was going to be sick. Went outside, got some air, and sort of leveled myself. Went to go back in. And the bouncers went, well, you're not coming back in. And I don't do well with authority, so I didn't argue. I went, oh, okay. Stood outside being like, but all my friends are in there. And
all my pals are there.
I don't know how I'm going to, you know. And eventually someone came out and found me. Anyway, then they all came out and everyone said goodbye and whatnot. And I was with my partner at the time. And we got into a taxi. I thought it was going to be fine, but we were going to Ramsgate.
From Canterbury.
It was about 40 minutes away.
Yeah, give or take.
And it was after, at this point, actually, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So, so a taxi from Canterbury to Ramsgate, 1 o'clock in the morning, is going to cost you about 50 quid.
Probably about that.
All right. But we knew that was going to happen anyway. It's a night out in Canterbury. It's someone's birthday. Fine. All right. Fuck it. Why not? I get into the car. That's when I start feeling, oh, no, probably not okay.
The motion.
I start drifting in and out of consciousness. My partner has gone. God. She's asleep. She has fallen asleep. So there's no responsible adult to watch me. I then wake up retching. About 10, 12 minutes into the journey. So not even out of... Just got to Sturry. So nowhere near the end. And I catch it in my mouth. So I don't do lots of it. I catch it in my mouth, and he obviously stops the car, and I get out, and I do a little sick by the corner. The taxi driver, is fucking up in arms. All right, fair enough. There isn't actually loads of it in the car. There's a tiny little speck of it. But there's a tiny little speck, but I haven't really been sick in the car. But he finds me. I'm so drunk at this point. He finds me £100.
Oh, no. God.
And I paid it.
On the spot.
On the spot, I paid it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he found me on the spot and I paid it. Because I was too drunk to comprehend and argue.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, right, but fine, I'll take you home. So I got back in the car and I felt fine for a really long time. And we got to Ramsgate. We're getting into Ramsgate. We're literally 2-3 minutes from where we were due to be, up by Pyrmont car dealership. And I just got this sudden wave of bull, and I coughed.
Nausea.
And I coughed, and bleh, it was like a funnel. It was awful. And I had to.
It gives me anxiety.
He pulled up by that huge roundabout, you know, by up by there where you can go down towards the seafront.
Spice and Lawrence.
Basically, I got out and I just sort of collapsed into the grass into that roundabout and just threw up all over myself.
Oh.
And saying he got out again, up in arms. He fined me another £100.
Yeah.
Which I paid.
Oh, mate. Yeah. So all in all, and then did you pay the fare as well?
Well, no. I thought he fined me another £100. This is part of the story.
Yeah.
And then he then did take us back because we're only 2 minutes away. And I then did a really so I'm covered in vomit.
At this point. Yeah.
And I was so apologetic and whatnot, but like I didn't realise that my hand was also covered in vomit. Because at the end, when I got out of the car, I grabbed him on the shoulder and I just went, cheers, buddy. The got out the car. And staggered out the car. I realised though when I checked my bank the next day that he had actually fined me on the second time 120.
Right.
So okay. all in all, a taxi from Canterbury to Ramsgate cost me £220.
200-odd quid. And because I've heard this story before, so that is an exorbitant amount of money to be charged. Even if you hold your hand up, you were well in the wrong.
Oh, the thing is,
you were.
I was
yeah.
well in the wrong. I didn't even mind paying the first fine. I think it's a little steep, but fine. But I did technically get charged for the same crime twice.
Yeah, you got double jeopardied, which is illegal. You can't be charged for the same crime twice.
But I was in this, bear in mind, so like I'm in the grass the second time round. I'm in the grass sort of just rolling around. My partner that has woken up and she, bless her heart, like trying her best to clean the vomit out off this car with like a tissue that she's got. Which is like turning up after a tsunami with a fucking broom. Do you know what I mean?
With a cup.
And she's being really calm and trying to talk to the, you know, because he's going mad.
Yeah. Which,
but he at one point, again, and I'm so drunk, the thing that frightened me was like, I will call the police if you don't pay. And I was too drunk to go, ugh. If I had been more sober and with it, I would have gone, well, do, because I'll tell them that I've done it twice and that I've paid it.
Yeah, which I'm still not sure probably would have gone down in your favour, mate.
Maybe not.
But you don't know. Maybe not. And also, I mean, the other thing being, I suppose, though, is if you were a little bit more with it, you probably wouldn't have done it in the first instance.
That is true.
But, oh, God.
That is true.
I could...
Do you know what's really annoying? It's not actually like I had £200 to blow on a fucking taxi.
Yeah, I know. That's...
I'm an actor. Who the fuck do I think I am? Paying £200 for a taxi ride.
Oh, bro.
Shall we go over to quickfire questions?
Shall we?
As I go back to weird radio presenter. Sorry, my friend.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, go on then. Why not?
Go on then. Okay. Go first. So, quickfire questions this week. So, they're back to quickfire questions. No quiz master this week, I'm afraid. Mr.
That's all right. I bloody loved that, though.
I'm glad.
Okay, quickfire questions for you, Mr. Connor Maud. If you had to lose a limb, which one would you choose?
How, when you say limb...
So you've got to either lose one of your arms or one of your legs, but you can choose, I can either lose my left or right leg or my right and left arm.
So I'm probably losing my left arm.
Okay, why?
Because I couldn't lose either leg, because I need to keep mobile.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the line of work that we do, although I'm sure there are many single-legged performers out there. I just don't want to be one.
You'd
of them.
Be great in Treasure Island.
Wouldn't I just? Yeah. I'd, every year I'd get Treasure, I'd get Long John in the panto, in the local panto. But probably left arm, because I know it's one of those tropes. It's like, you know when like someone breaks their left arm, yeah, and they always turn around and say, I forgot, or I didn't realise rather, how much I used my left arm until like I had no use of it, and then it sort of like really fucked me up. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like what's it doing for me? You know, what is my left arm doing for me that my right arm couldn't make up for?
Can I say,
it has got the easiest ride, left arm.
Yeah, it's true. This is because we briefly talked about panto and Treasure Island. One of the very few times, I rarely, like, when I see a famous person, I rarely, like, mark out and get starstruck and think. When I was in Edinburgh, I saw, you know, quite a few relatively famous people and people that I really admired, but one of the few times I was like, ooh, I saw Christopher Biggins. And, like, I was, like, a bit like, ooh. That's
excellent.
And to everyone who was with me, like, that's Christopher Biggins.
That's Chris Biggins.
Like,
it's Christopher Biggins.
10 yards away from me, just like sat in a cab. Brilliant. What would be your public scandal?
Oh, my public scandal. Probably something to do, like, with. It's probably booze fueled, obviously. Probably sort of some sort of like indecent exposure or something like that. Probably. I've probably got absolutely pissed up, and it, you know, as I get older and my career goes very, very little places, and I sort of, you know, slowly fade into mediocrity.
There's no slow, mate. We're both there.
yeah. Our meteoric rise to fuck all.
We thought it was said. Meteoric, it's meteoric. Oh, it's not a joke. Sorry.
It's all right, mate.
Sorry. You know when you thought, oh, that's a funny in your head? And I couldn't quite get it out either.
Oh, you mean like our lives?
Where's the best place to touch you?
Oh, God. Sexy touch me? Or just any touch me?
You interpret the question how you like.
Okay. If it's like sexy touch me, then... I'm aware people in my household are awake and I'm being very loud, but that's fine. Sexy touch me that's not, like, explicit sexy touch me. Like, the back of my head.
Oh,
like
okay.
The nape of my neck.
Yeah.
I love that. Weird. That's, you know that about me now. That's sort of, like, sexy touch me. But also, I love if it's not sexy touch me, I love, like, a really good... big bear hug.
Aww.
From someone I know, not from
anyone,
strangers. You know, if this ever gets remote, or an actual bear, you know, if this ever gets any sort of popularity and you're a stranger coming up to me, please don't hug me. Ask for a hug and I might indulge, certainly not during corona time. But I love a good, like, from someone I know, a big old hug.
Yeah,
is that's a good place to touch. So I guess that would be like midriff or back, I don't know, kind of that,
okay,
in that big old embrace. Okay. I'm quite a tactile person.
Would you rather explore space or the deepest depths of the sea?
Oh God, that is hard. Sea. I'm going with sea.
Why?
And this is going to sound mental.
Yeah.
It seems more achievable.
No, I think that.
Than going to space. And also there is. Obviously, loads and loads of stuff to explore down there, but it feels like I could do more of it in the time I've got compared to space.
Mm. Okay. Good. Have you ever been addicted to anything?
Emotionally unavailable women. Have I ever been addicted to anything? There was a point in my time when I probably was addicted to playing World of Warcraft, and I still play it to this day, so I've never really kicked the habit. But there was a period of time where I would skip school and play it for like 10 plus hours a day sometimes.
Sure. What's your best quality?
My best quality? Physical or...
Interpret the question as you like.
As you like. My best quality? I don't know. I feel like it's a bit weird for me to answer that.
No, I know, but I want you to. That's why I've asked you the question.
What's my best quality? I don't know. Maybe my eyes? I also get told my laugh is very infectious as well. Okay. So maybe my laugh would be another one. But I have been told I've got very nice eyes.
You do have very nice blue and gold. Have you ever had a public wardrobe malfunction?
No. Unless you consider just my general outfits to be a malfunction. Because some people definitely do.
Rank the Spice Girls.
We know, like, let's face it, we know we could probably pick the first two.
I thought so too. And very fitting for the day in which we're filming this. Rank the Spice Girls in order of who you think would be the best Prime Minister.
Oh my God.
From least to most.
Who I think would be best at it or who I would want to do it? Because that follows a very simple.
Let's go with best. Who you think would be best from least to most?
So, least to most. Emma Bunton is not last.
Oh!
Is not last. I think probably Jerry.
Okay.
Is last for me.
What?
Jerry Hablin is last to me because she does, from what I know about our Jerry, is she does, apart from being a very good performer, I feel like she's probably not great under pressure.
Okay.
In the grand scheme of things, I feel like she was quite. I feel like she would take the critique too much, if that makes sense. And again, I have no basis for my reasoning here.
Mm.
Then it's probably Mel C. Mm. For many of the same reasons, but I think she'd be able to take the critique better. I think she's probably a bit better under pressure because she's a. Live performer, especially during sort of like musical theatre, live theatre where stuff can go wrong a little bit more. I feel like she's a lot better probably under pressure.
Yeah.
During sort of those crucial moments where snap decisions and changes need to be made at the last second. Yeah. Then it's probably Emma.
Wow.
Because she has had for many years a very public facing career, more so than even when she was probably in the Spice Girls, in the fact that she's a radio presenter.
Mm.
And I feel like that off-the-cuff, smooth talking, able to come up with decisions, to come up with ideas, I feel like that's probably... I'm sure she probably does have a team to help with that in radio, but I feel like that's probably something that she spearheads a little bit as well.
Also, if she can cope with the fact that you've been slagging her off for weeks, then...
And of course, my opinion matters so much. to a very small group of people. Then, I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry. I love you. But it's my girl, Mel B.
Oh, my God.
I know. Don't get me wrong. It was a real toss-up between her and first place, right? I just think, for many of the same reasons as Emma Bunton, she's got a very sort of crowd-pleasing... Mm. Forward performance career these days. Again, more so than she's in the Spice Girls, you know, being things like a judge on X Factor and stuff like that. And of course, you can't really equate one to the other.
No, but...
I just feel like those have...
We have very little to go on anyway.
That sort of like... absolutely, yeah. It's not like we know them. It's... I just think it's for that reason, you know. She's got that... She's got the presence, I think, to do it. Mm. And she's got the smarts to do it. The difference being between her and my first place spot, which is obviously Victoria Beckham, if you, you know...
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Who's in the Spice Girls. It's her because Victoria Beckham has success now in running many businesses.
That's true.
And I think it's the qualities and strengths from that that could potentially make her a good candidate for Prime Minister.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm sure there are, again, like, there are teams of people and things like that are... And if you look to the US, it goes to show that being... actually, he wasn't successful, so my point is moot. if you're a successful business person, that it means you're successful, you successfully be able to run a country.
Yeah.
I just think the qualities of that could translate much more easily than any of the other the girls in the Spice Girls. I'm sorry, Mel.
Oh, mate.
Still, if anyone ever shows you this, please let's be friends. Just know that out of 5 episodes so far, you have been ranked number one.
And also, never gone below second. Always in the top two.
Never gone, you're always in the top two. And it was just that toss up there. And you could well run your own business now. I don't know. I'm sorry. Be my friend. Don't tweet at me. Let's hang.
Something you could, something you couldn't live without.
The internet.
Complete the sentence. Why must I
be this way?
And final question. Why are we all ignoring the danger posed by Michael Owen?
Because of the lack of PPE provided by our government, we've not been able to don our tinfoil hats, and he's directly beaming his thoughts, feelings and opinions into our brain in order to take over the world.
It's true. I fucking hate that, man. I don't know if you've...
I wouldn't have been able to tell, mate.
It's really petty as well. Do you know, it's really petty. It's really petty.
The reason...
He slagged off Alan Shearer, and I support Newcastle United, and you do not fucking slag off Alan Shearer. And he slagged off Alan Shearer because Alan Shearer questioned his commitment when Michael Owen played for Newcastle United, and Alan Shearer was the manager for a little bit when Newcastle were in the shit, and he came in to try and manage. And he, Michael Owen, when he played for... Oh, I know you're not a football person, and I'm sorry, but Michael Owen played for Newcastle. He was the record signing at the time, and he was on fucking mega money, and he was fucking injured every 2 or 3 weeks. Could barely play like 3 games in a row, and we were due to be relegated, and we needed Michael Owen to just fucking play and try and score, and he was like, oh, you know, maybe save me for like 20 minutes at the end if we need a goal. Twat. Can't fucking...
If we need, if
we
a,
need
goal.
A goal.
When do you not need a goal?
In a football match.
In a football match, you know, if we need it.
And we got relegated, so bell end. And then he has the bollocks to question Alan Shearer and Alan Shearer's commitment. Twat.
Okay, Mr. Darren Hill.
Hello.
Are you ready for your quickfire questions? Question number one. What is the worst movie you've ever seen?
The worst movie I've ever seen is Sausage Party.
Oh, God.
And I saw it in the cinema. And it was the only comedy that I've ever seen in the cinema where no, it didn't even get the communal, like, this is funny. And then afterwards you go, oh, this is shit. It was the only comedy I've ever watched in a cinema where we all collectively went, oh, this is shite. And I have since, what's really annoying is I have since watched it again to make sure I wasn't being mental. I don't know why I put myself,
put
I put myself through
it
again.
A second time.
And then my dad bought it secondhand from a CEX. For 50p, but I went, oh, mate, like, you've wasted that 50p.
Even that.
And then he watched it and went, oh, yeah, no, you were right, son.
Yeah, I did waste 50p. What do you think is your biggest flaw? It's the opposite of what you asked me.
What do I think is
my... Which has quite a nice poetic...
What do I think is my biggest flaw? I do sometimes struggle to see things from other people's perspectives. I think.
Okay. What's your latest TV binge?
I've started again because I think they just come on to Netflix. I've been out of comfort. I'm rewatching Modern Family.
Nice.
As it gets
weird towards the end.
Yeah, and I haven't watched all of it, and I didn't. It's not like I watched it much first time around, but I sometimes watched it with my brother because he had Sky.
Good show.
So I would watch it with him, and just as a comfort thing, I'd chuck it on. So and Killing Eve. Killing Eve. I'm back on because Killing Eve is back.
What word can you just not pronounce?
Oh, fuck it. I'm finding I've got a bit more of a lisp than I thought I did, and I struggle with S's a little bit more. Because I think I've got I've got a slight gap in my teeth, which I don't quite know why. It's just developed as my mouth has formed. A word that I just can't pronounce. Well, I'm learning French, so there's fucking tons of words that I'm finding I can't pronounce. And I hate it when you do the ones where it needs you to say it out loud. And there's some that I've done that I've like, I fucking nailed that, and you're telling me I haven't. And then there are some that I know I've fucking gone shlur, shlur, and it's gone, well, hey, you're through.
Well, hey, you've nailed it.
I've gone,
it.
Well,
big
this
boy.
Is... So pass. I can't quite pinpoint a precise
that's
word
fine,
that I don't
fine.
Know, but fucking tons.
Who is your favourite sibling?
Oh, it's my little brother.
Oh, nice. Considering you used to hate one another.
Yeah.
I've seen them get in physical fights, but it's very adorable.
And I, you know, and I say that with, I don't mean that as in, I dislike my older brothers.
No, of course.
We have a very different relationship because he's my full brother. And my older brothers are half brothers, and that's not really a thing. But there's just we're closer in age, and we grew up together, and we're just closer, and we see the world a lot more similarly than they do. So you know,
you've got a lot more similarities.
And I hate, which
is probably why you clashed so much
when we were younger. But I hate, you know, and I do hate to admit it. He's a brilliant human being. Like, and also like a little fucking genius sometimes, like the fucking anyway,
you give them a shout out sometimes. The WWE or MMA?
My heart would always go with WWE.
I thought it
but
might be that,
but well no I've had a beer. I was sensing a rant. And I'm gonna bite my tongue.
Was it about Dana White and him being more like Shere Khan, the guy who ran Mortal Kombat every day?
I mean, no. Well, it wasn't about that, but okay. Also, there are things.
He's mental. What's your go-to takeaway?
Oh, Indian.
Yeah, lovely. Rank these TV chefs.
Okay.
By who you think would be the best on a trampoline. Gino DeCampo, Gordon Ramsay or Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall?
Okay, when you say best on a...
As in able to perform, like, tricks.
Oh, okay, this is easy. Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall last, because it's fucking Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall. Look at him! Look at him as a human being, Connor!
Okay.
He would struggle to get on the trampoline. He's not fucking doing a flip when he's on it. I love him. Okay. I love him as a human being. I think he's brilliant.
Like him, yeah.
And I watch it a bit. No. Then it's Gordon. It's Gordon. I think he'd be quite good. So I think he's probably competitive and he's probably kind of good at everything, right?
Well, he played competitive sports, didn't he? So he's probably quite athletic.
But, I mean, you fucking try and lie to me and say that you didn't think it was Gino DeCampo when you posed this question.
I absolutely thought it would be Gino.
Effortless. He would look at the trampoline and the trampoline would do a flip.
You got such an affection
for Gino, he's brilliant. Do you know? The thing with Gino DeCampo is, sorry, I don't know if I've ever told this story in the podcast. I once thought, so brazen, and thought I could teach sketch comedy. You know, at a too young age, I was like, yeah, I'll do a sketch writing workshop. And I started this workshop by asking like the kids I was teaching, so who are your favourite comedians? And one lad, bless his heart, put his hand up and he just went, I really like Gino DeCampo. And I took a minute of going, do you mean the chef on This Morning?
The TV
and
chef.
I was kind of hoping someone would say like Harry Enfield, you know, sure. Mitchell and Webb, maybe, you know, as a slightly younger reference. I wasn't expecting a fucking This Morning chef, but but fair enough. I mean,
fair enough.
Whatever floats your boat.
If you could be reincarnated as any animal, what would
Black
it be?
Black Panther.
Or why?
Oh, they're just
you got that in a second. In a second.
I just think they're beautiful animals.
Oh, they're gorgeous animals. If you could travel back to any time period, which would it be?
Now, I could be a wanker and say I'd go to Shakespeare. But I wouldn't. I would go back to the Restoration. And I'd go and watch the Restoration comedies first time round.
Nice.
And I'd go and see all the bawdy sex jokes and, you know, and that shit. No! I'd go for personal reasons, people know, I'd go and follow Afra Behn. That sounds really stalkery, that I know how I just said that. But there are bits about her life that I would want to know.
What would be the Guinness World Record you think you could break?
I mean, at the moment, I seem to be going for quickest time to pickle my liver, so...
So you reckon you'd have a chance?
I mean, most sarcastic comments in an hour.
Very good, very good. Those, Darren Hill, are my questions.
Oh, thanks
thank you very
much
for
man.
Playing.
I love that.
That's all right, mate. Good.
Times. I'm just going to have a quick go on my trifle, if that's okay.
You can have a quick go on the trifle. So one of my questions was going to be, and we did it as a quickfire question once before.
Yeah.
So maybe it's interesting to talk about, but a little bit more long form.
Yeah.
So once this is all over,
yeah,
once lockdown is finished and sort of the world goes back to... I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way it was before, so it's difficult to kind of exactly guess what that would be. But have you got a plan? Have you got sort of ideas cooking? Is there anything that you want to be doing when this is over? Of course, want to is, I wouldn't say...
No, I know what you mean.
But I guess maybe both aspirationally and in the immediate... Once this is all over,
there's the immediate aftermath of when this is over is, you know, what? How do I make a living? Because obviously, particularly with what I do, there's going to be no real rush for that thing to come back, particularly facilitating. Facilitating might come back, but it's going to be in line with when the schools go back. And at the moment, from the announcement that it's June is when they're going to look to start bringing that back, but that will only be if everything seems to be going in the way that they think it will do. But at the moment, I would have to say I don't think that will.
No, I don't think so either.
But we'll know more in the next couple of days, because I just don't. This, what annoyed me about that announcement was how vague it really was. Go to work if you can. Don't use public transport. And also unlimited exercise.
Yeah.
Now, here's what annoyed me with that is, A, really, people are having unlimited exercise anyway, right? Fuck it. Because who is counting if they're out for an hour? There aren't enough police to fucking enforce that on a wide scale. And but, you know...
But also...
Are people going to go out? If they're breaking it already, they're breaking it already. Are they going to go? If you're not opening restaurants and pubs and meeting places, what
actually changes?
Nothing.
For that? Yeah. What really? Nothing is really changing.
I haven't seen any. There's any police around here. I've seen the community warden on his bicycle a few times, and I don't think he was out patrolling. I think he was just probably out for a fucking bicycle ride, because he never fucking stopped anyone.
Mr. Darren Hill, ask me what I'm bringing to Jim Ricciardo.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
See, I threw it on you there, didn't I?
I liked that. I
plunged the knife and twisted.
Kind of cool. I kind of liked it.
It was kind of cool.
Kind of liked it, my dark-haired friend. Colin Maud, what are you bringing to Jim Bitch Corner? What's the...
So I am bringing to you. You may have seen me supping from two different glasses throughout the show. Eagle-eyed viewers will have noticed. So I'm bringing two things. I'm bringing exactly the same drink I had brought last show. Very nice. Whitney Neal. Nope. Lemon sherbet gin with lemonade with Sicilian lemonade tonic. Connor, I hear you ask, but what was that second smaller brown juice you were drinking? This, my friends. So I love whiskey, which we've talked about before. And I thought, I've got expensive whiskey. What's an expensive whiskey cocktail that I can make? It turns out those don't really exist. Kind of the idea of most whiskey cocktails really is to bring out good flavours in worse whiskey. So I've still got my nice expensive whiskey. I'm just not drinking it neat, which again, I know is sacrilege. However, I'm bringing a slightly different whiskey-based drink than this time. This is a maple syrup whiskey sour. So this has got... So it's probably about two shots of whiskey, ish, give or take. I eyeballed it. I think the idea is like three to four tablespoons of whiskey, or about 4 ounces. I don't know exactly what it is in millimeters, because I was doing it off an American recipe. Whiskey, about half a shot of lemon juice, a shot of maple syrup, and then for flavour, I've also added a pinch of cinnamon. For a little bit more spice, just to bring out the spiciness a bit more. You get that in a mixing jug. You shake that bad boy up. Not a mixing jug, a cocktail jar, like, you know, one of the metal ones. You shake it up. You then ice in a glass, and then you pour it over ice. And honestly, mate, it's got that fiery whiskey sort of burning sensation. That heat from the whiskey, which is amplified a little bit by... the cinnamon that I've added. because I really wanted to add to that fire and that spice, because it's an inherently spicy sort of hot whiskey. It's not so much a peaty whiskey, which like that earthy flavour. And then afterwards you get this little washing of sort of lemon juice, and then the maple syrup kicks in. You really get kind of all four flavours as you drink it, and then it's got that sort of fire in the belly that you get after you've been drinking whiskey as well. It's bloody lovely, Jesus. Mate, but it's deadly because again it's so strong and it is essentially just booze. But it's very, very nice. And I just wanted something a little bit different for the show. Maybe, you know, go out there, everyone, and make yourself a nice cocktail.
Sorry, before you go, how often do you go to the shops?
Once every couple of days, maybe.
Okay. Do you, because I do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just need to get either some booze or some comfort food. Do you buy anything else as a way of justifying to the cashier, the person serving you for your trip?
See, I don't, and there is a specific reason for that. It doesn't normally stem with booze, because I guess that's a different thing, but the reason I don't is because of my own fucking weird neuroses about it.
Yeah.
If I'm ever going to buy toilet roll, I will only buy toilet roll, because I think if I just buy one other thing, all that anyone is thinking about when I do that is whatever the other item is, whether it's a piece of food or or whatever. Mm. In my mind, every other person is looking at my two purchases and going, that thing makes him shit himself. And I get really, really, really neurotic about
right.
it. So I just buy toilet roll, because then I just need to poop, right? Everyone's got to poop. But I don't like the idea of people thinking about if I buy a punnet of raspberries as well. They're like, that guy's going to eat raspberries, but it's going to make him shit himself. And he's going to eat raspberries and have red shits. So that's my neurosis stops me from doing that. With booze, because if I'm buying booze, I'm probably not just buying booze anyway.
Yeah.
I won't normally add to the I'll make a trip. I don't normally make special trips for booze. I'm doing it as well as buying the other stuff I need as well. Because we're clearly liquor drinkers, or mostly, rather than sort of like individual things. Why do you then? Do you?
I have bought so much bacon and yogurt as a for when I really just want to buy crisps and beer.
But in my head, if I was doing like the same anxiety of me buying toilet roll, if I had to do that for my anxiety, I would have to. It would be like in my mind, I would imagine people are going, he's making a yogurt beer sandwich with his.
No,
bacon.
I buy it would to justify fucking, that. It it's a, I bought a fucking toothbrush yesterday.
Sake, Darren, why?
To feel like I've justified the I didn't need it. I didn't need one. I had a perfectly fine toothbrush, but you know, like
starting to
replace it.
Yeah.
But
we're so neurotic.
Yeah, I know.
We have so much
destined to
neuroses.
Be on my own now forever. I get it.
We'll be together.
My dad today was like, so you and Connor, like, he was like, there are flats in Westgate, you know, that have been done for rent. Like, you two should look at that. Obviously, after this is done. But, you know, and I went, well, probably the only person who put up living with me.
Shack up with me. Well, you never know what's going to happen after this. So I need to hear about positive thoughts, because I need to know if Sophie from Hackney's written it. I need to know. Well, can you do us some
you'll
positive
find
thoughts
out.
Next, please?
I will. Yeah, you'll find out.
I'll find out.
So I've got some positive thoughts for you, Connor. It's completely real positive thoughts. I'm going to kick you off. My dad got in touch. My dad wrote in, which is a bit annoying because I share a house with him. So seems a bit daft.
Seems a bit sus, sure.
I'd say he's attention seeking.
Or maintaining social distancing, maybe.
Anyway, but he said. Listen to your show, son. Gotta be honest, I was surprised that I found it as enjoyable as I did. Well done.
Well done. You.
When are you going to start making money from it? Well, fucking question.
Well, if anyone would like to pay us, our Patreon that we haven't finished is down below. And also our PayPal is linked. We haven't got one of those.
No, but we've linked Creative Distance's PayPal account, so you can tip their artist, but not ours, which is a daft move, actually, in a way. But, you know, we're all about nice to be nice here at Fool's Folly. Harriet in Bromley says, she says, her dad delivered some banana bread to her door the other day, and it's the first time she's seen him in 8 weeks. She said, seeing his chirpy little face was too much, and she openly wept with joy.
Oh, that's very sweet.
She adds, the banana bread was fucking dishwater, but it's the thought that counts.
Okay, good.
Carl from Norwich says, my dealer is delivering again.
Good, yeah, fantastic.
Boris said, fucking go back to work if you can, so...
If you're playing Fool's Folly podcast bingo along, you can now check off your drug reference part of your bingo card.
Have I done many drug reference? I don't think I've done.
No, just not you, but I just either of us at one point. I've mentioned ecstasy a few times, more times than I'm really comfortable with, actually.
Oh yeah. Okay. My older brother got in touch as well. Actually, it's kind of a family orientated day. He said, and genuinely, he said. This was so sweet in a way. He said, you always were the funny one and handsome one and definitely the favourite.
Oh, that's how sweet.
Love the show. Good work.
Oh, okay.
Discuss my spermal potency on a public forum again and I'll smear your brains like marmalade up and down the streets of Ramsgate, you snarky twat.
Oh, brilliant.
Craig from Wolverhampton wrote in.
Craig from Wolverhampton now. Is this our hacker, gin-drinking, racist, question mark?
Racially insensitive when boozed up.
Yes, sorry, yeah, that's a fine point to make, Dan.
But Craig in Wolverhampton wrote in to say, boys... Mm-hmm. My wife has now banned me from watching you as she thinks you're a bad influence.
Okay.
However, I have taken to sneaking out of bed in the early hours to catch up on the show. I snuck down on Tuesday intending to see the last episode, but to my surprise, Megan was out of bed already. I went downstairs to see Megan intently hunched over the screen watching you while she sucked down a lemon sherbet gin.
Okay, brilliant.
I asked her what she was playing at. She responded by throwing my freezer gravel at me and yelling, go play with your trains.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh.
I have spent the last few days in the attic and I'm refusing to come down until she apologises.
Good on you, Craig.
I have, however, managed to sneak the gin upstairs.
I love to think of our audience as gin-swilling ruffians.
I can hear her wandering around in search going, where the fuck has that gone?
Okay.
Last night, I got blotto and recreated Murder on the Orient Express.
This is a stupid show. I said it last week. We make a stupid show.
Everyone spoke with a thick Wolverhampton accent, and frankly, that was a massive improvement.
That was a shit film.
Cheers, lads.
Up the Craig. Well done, lad. Is this the moment?
Sophie and Mark?
Yeah.
Haven't written in.
No!
I hope they do next week.
Me too.
And on that positive note.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Be safe. Be well. Be afraid. My name is Connor Maud.
My name's Darren Hill. Bye, friends.
Bye.